me start that now. I apologize for that. And I will, I apologize for that. So I'm back. I'm here. And let's see, I just want to make sure that you can hear me. Before I start back up again, I want to make sure you can hear me. Let's see, if you can type into the webcast that you can hear me, that'll be great. I don't know what happened. But anyway, let's just go over. Okay, the slides are up, Q&A. No, I don't think you need to. I think Ira's still here. I don't think you need to rejoin. So, yeah, I just want to make sure. I'm going to actually hop to the phone and unmute some of you for just a moment, just to make sure you can hear me. Okay, Jonathan, Ira, Lita, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, perfect. Okay. All right. So let me mute you back again, and then we'll start right back up. I apologize for that. Okay. All right. Let me go back to the Q&A. All right. So let's see. So what I was talking about was, okay, physical books. So as I said a moment ago, or digital books. So, again, your mistakes, your pitfalls, the things you've gone through, your school of hard knocks is very valuable. And as I would, and this is what I would say, start keeping a journal of questions that you find yourself frequently answering, topics that you are very passionate about in your particular genre. Pay attention to what people are complaining about or wishing they could find that does not exist, or maybe some version of it exists and they haven't found, you know, and you have a potential solution for them. Those types of things could be the seeds of what you could potentially write a book about, an e-book about. And let me also break down what an e-book, you know, e-book does not have to be 200 pages. It can be 50 pages. It can be 25 pages. It can be 200 pages. The length of pages is not the point. What is important is that the content is top-notch, first-rate, and it's very clear and understandable. And more to the point, it has to be, if it's in a how-to setting, make it step-by-step. Because people think recipes, for an example. People want to know, okay, I do this first, I do this second, I do this third, on and on and on. And if I follow these steps, I'll get this result. So keep that in mind. Specialized topics sell better. Again, make a list of specialized topics. Read trade publication magazines in your particular genre, industry, articles that you read that you find are very popular. If a magazine felt strongly enough in a topic to write an article about it, commission a writer to write an article about it, it's strong enough, they felt strong enough about it to invest money into it, to hire that writer and to put it into their print publication. So that could be a seed of what you could potentially expand upon. The things I'm talking about is just your research first base point of information. It doesn't have to be a book. I want to emphasize that here. This could be the seeds of a course, whether it's online or off, or this could be some kind of a personal one-on-one or group experience that you could create. You're just trying to find validation that the idea that you have or your spin on the idea is actually something that the world is looking for. So be very aware of publications that you read. Look at your desk. Look at your bookshelf. What topics stand out for you? See if there's not a, you know, Amazon is a great tool for research. So use that tool to be able to find what topics are really, really valuable to you, or valuable in your genre. Again, think specialized. The more specialized you can make it, the better it sells, because people are not looking for general anymore. They're looking for niche. They're looking for specific and specialized solutions. Okay? Again, books can be highly leverageable because they can be turned into a course. As a matter of fact, what you're experiencing me tonight, I wrote about partly in the book that I all gifted you. I wrote about that 2 years ago. So, again, you can take one of these one core ideas and leverage it multiple different ways. So if you don't want to deal with a course right now, maybe you want to do a book first and then get that out there and then leverage that into a course situation. If you want to do physical books, those can be printed on demand. I would not recommend printing or going with a short-run printer and printing a bunch of physical books. I would go with print on demand. The service that I use, and you can write this down, is lulu.com, and I do recommend this in the presentation with the link there as well. In terms of books, depending upon the kind of information that you're putting out and the need or necessity for it in your industry, books can be sold. E-books can be sold between the $20 I find to about the $97 range. $97 would be more the range if you're putting in a lot of additional things like maybe audio pieces, components to it, like there's additional information that maybe you didn't want to write about, but say maybe you interviewed five people in your industry that complement your subject matter and you want to provide that information to people as well. Or if you tie it in with some kind of a course experience, you can easily ask for $97 and get that because it's more than just the quote-unquote book. Think experience. Again, think deep. And how much can you give them on that topic? Most books, honestly, in the ebook realm start between $5 to $14 is around the average price I see for ebooks. I actually would change that now and say $5 to $20. So, again, you want to play with the numbers. And again, your first line of market research is your customer. So I'm going to give you everything I know, what I have experienced myself. These are my experiences. But at the end of the day, your customer dictates the price. So when you're creating something, ask them, what would you pay for this? Or what's your price point that feels comfortable to you? That way you're not guessing or pulling numbers out of the thin air. And then based on the numbers that you created that you know you need for your business, then you need to base your decision as to whether or not this is a viable project for you based on your income projections. So, again, don't marry an idea. Explore it, research it, do your due diligence, but don't sell yourself on it until you know that it fits everything that you need. Can I effectively create a program or a product around this? Can I price it in a way that the market has proven that it will bear, and will those numbers fit what I need to make every single month to hit my numbers? Because you want to go beyond what you need to also what you want, so that way your cash flow then becomes more stabilized. If you're going to start thinking about doing a book, I would think about a series. Series tends to sell better than single topics. So maybe instead of making a book with everything in the kitchen sink with one book, think about how you can maybe take that and break it up and make a series of 5 books or 10 books. And I'm going to show you someone in a moment that actually does that very well. Okay? These are some resources that I recommend to you for researching a little bit more about ebooks, some of the things I've used. One is called stickyebooks.com. I'm going to give you these links inside of the PDF that you're getting of this presentation, so you don't have to write this down, but this is just what I want to share with you. You do have a physical example, well, a digital example of my book, the Ion Marketing Success Book. Again, I use Lulu to print that book. That book was a series of different articles I had written, and I decided to put them together in a book format. But then what made it different than the article was I added the checklist at the end of each chapter, because that isn't in the original article. It was not in the original article. So I decided to expand upon it to give you steps beyond reading the chapter into getting into action, because that's my whole thing. I want you to take action on what you learn. HowToSellYourEbook.com is another website for you to check out. Lulu.com is where I use for my print books. Depending upon the page count of the book, you can pretty much get anything done for under roughly around, I'd say between $5 and $6, depending upon how many copies that you print. I like the idea of having physical books. I won't say one's better than the other, but what I will say is because we've gotten to be so digital now, I think physical books are becoming more valuable to people. So if you can have your books in both formats, I recommend. Physical books will help open up more doors for you in terms of your marketing. When you can send someone, an organization, a group of people, or wherever you want to speak a physical book, they tend to take it more seriously. I have been invited. I have gotten speaking opportunities as a result of my physical book. So I would say I would make physical books only on demand as needed as a marketing tool. But the advantage that you have is that you can sell those books while you're doing something else. So if you're going somewhere to do a presentation, the physical books are there. You can make money on the spot. And because digital books have gotten to be so popular, I think the price of physical books are able to go up a little bit more now because people are seeing more value in the physical book. They want something tactile to hold in their hand when they leave. Okay. The one thing that I will say, though, is that if you do write your book as a physical book to begin with, have it formatted for digital, because that's going to be important. And I honestly believe that anything you do should be available in both formats. It should be both automatically without even thinking twice about it, because you can make money from the same topic two different ways. Again, think series for more leverageable opportunities. And implement a launch strategy before publishing your book for greater sales. What I mean by a launch strategy is you do not want to just write a book, spend months, weeks, months, whatever, writing a book, and then all of a sudden the book is done, you've paid to get it printed or whatever you've done, ebook, however you do it, and then you just go out into the world and say, okay, the book is here, you want to come buy it. Now you have to start letting people know ahead of time what you're working on and what's coming out so that you can start to build energy and momentum for the book before it's released. So you want to start seeding it. It's what I call seeding. You want to start posting it out on social media, start talking about what you're working on. When you're out doing speaking gigs or going to networking meetings, talk about your book, for an example. Let people get a sense of it. Get your book cover designed right away. I would say once you decide you're going to do the book, at least get a first draft of your book cover done right away and print out a copy of it and keep it over your desk to look at, to remind yourself, one, to write it and get it done, and two, to have a physical image that you can show people when you're out networking, talking to people, posting on social media, sharing things. One of the best tips I can give you about books, if you're seriously, seriously thinking about writing a book, I recommend this book called APE, and I don't have it in my notes, so you don't have to write this one down. APE, A-P-E, which is Author, Publisher, Entrepreneur, by Guy Kawasaki and Sean Welsh, and I think Sean spells his last name W-E-L-S-H. I had a chance to interview both of them on another group that I'm involved in a while back. A lot of people are gravitating towards this book, including some really big-name photographers are actually reading this book and getting a lot of insight about how to professionally prepare and launch a book. So, again, the book is APE, A-P-E. You can find it on Amazon. I think that's the fastest way to go with it. You can find it there. Okay, so let's move on. This is a gentleman that has actually done really well with creating a series of different e-books for photographers. His name is David Ducheman. David's website is called craftandvision.com. His books are all average priced $5. They're all specialized topics. They're all very short for the most part, I think under 50 pages. He creates something that makes it easy for his buyers to say yes, which is really important. And I think a lot of that has to do with his price point. If you really look at his books, in my opinion, they're almost like long articles. But he's formatted them in an ebook format, and they're all beautifully illustrated. I love looking at his books. What he does is a couple different things. He creates opportunities for other photographers because other photographers submit proposals to him and he lets them write books, so he creates an opportunity for them. And he also uses the books to leverage his readers into his higher priced programs and services. So David does tours, he takes photographers on location retreats and things like that, and I know the books have a good portion to do with how people see him and his work, and they want to hang out with him and say wherever he's going, if it's Vietnam or, you know, wherever he's going in Asia. He travels in Asia quite a bit. So I would check, if you're seriously thinking about doing books, I would check out David's work. Let's see. Now, the next section I want to talk about here is day-long workshops, short classes, multi-part courses, either live, telephone, or web-based. Books have a much, courses, I'm sorry, have a much higher profit margin than books. Even if you're selling a book for $97, which you're going to have to put a lot of good information in that book and make that thing really valuable to sell it for that much money, but it doesn't matter about the dollar amount the book is. The question comes in is how many you have to sell to make money on it. So when you're thinking about books, I think of books as almost like my first-tier marketing tool that just happens to be able to generate some income. But I think of a book really more as like your calling card. It's the thing that you can use to get people more involved in your higher-priced work. So I wouldn't necessarily write a book expecting all of my income or even a healthy chunk of my money coming from the book itself. The books, though, can help you with the other things that I'm talking about, which is this section here. You know, you can offer a workshop like what I'm doing over the phone for like $200, $300, or between less or more, depending upon what the topic is. And, you know, you only need, 10, 20 people to say yes to that as opposed to how many books you'd have to sell to make that same amount of money. So that's why I think that the courses are a faster path. They're faster to put together. You just need people that are actively looking for the topic, something that they're passionate about, and you have to know that you can basically create something like this, like what we're doing tonight, and set it up and offer it for sale. The profit margin on courses is higher, especially if you do it with in-house. You're not going through a school. You know, a school pays the worst. Community colleges, community adult education centers, I think you make $30 an hour. If it's your own organic course you created yourself, you can make much more money on it and make money on it faster. These can be used to leverage yourself into higher income generating opportunities like private clients, VIP days, or what I call mentoring programs. So, again, if you have someone – I have actually had someone take my course and work with me from that course on to private. But the course gave them a chance to get a good taste of me, to see how I am, how I work, what my processes are, and for me to get a good taste of them. And then it opened up a door a lot faster and a lot smoother than if we were meeting each other cold for the first time. Can take a little longer than setting up or than writing a book, but not always. Actually, I think a course actually – truth be told, really, a course can be shorter than a book. But I think if you can write an outline for a book, that outline can be used for a course or whatever type of program you choose to offer. Again, specialized topics sell better than general topics. So think about one particular specific niche or genre. Again, that's more important than general. Content can be multipurposed. So the thing that you have in the book can be used in the course if you create courses, or can be taught privately, individually, or in groups, or they can be put together in home study programs, which, again, is like courses. In order for them to be successful, you must have a highly targeted topic and a highly targeted audience. The audience has to have a proven history of purchasing similar programs. That's why I said earlier, if you can find where other people are teaching a top teaching on the topic you're thinking about, that's perfect. That's why I said a couple of calls ago, check out your local community colleges to see if they're offering courses similar. I know when I lived in Los Angeles, UCLA had photography classes in particular by very well-known photographers that were selling for quite a bit of money, actually. So you want to get that social proof again that someone's buying this. You want to see what types of programs are currently out there and what's currently being sold. And if you have your spin, your take on it, you can actually have a good, really strong chance of turning into your own program. You have to also be able to reach this audience easily. So, again, you want to be able to know where the people with this subject that have a passion for this subject, where do they hang out? Where would they go? I'll share one little side story with you. Years ago, when I first started my business, I interviewed Rick Salmon who has written books on tons of books on Photoshop in particular and digital photography. And he shared with us on the call, he used to go and do a lot of talks at B&H and other big camera stores years ago. I don't know if he does it anymore now. But Rick is really, really big on workshops and teaching, you know, groups and things like that, photography on the field. And I remember he shared a story where he was teaching a class on some form of travel photography, which is his big passion. And one of the gentlemen in the audience was not really a pro. He didn't consider himself a pro, but the guy just had a lot of money. And I think he was a doctor or something of that nature. I don't remember what it is. But he just basically had no problems dropping a lot of money on a camera equipment, but really didn't know really how to use it effectively. He was considering himself like an advanced, you know, amateur, if you will. But Rick was always taking trips to Africa a lot during that time period. And the gentleman approached Rick after he did his talk, and they struck up a conversation. It ended up that the guy wanted to go to Africa and go on safari with him to do a photography tour with him. And he asked him if he did those in groups or if he would do them privately. And they worked out an arrangement, and he ended up escorting this gentleman to Africa and doing a retreat with him, teaching him what he knew. And he made, you know, quite a bit of money from this opportunity. So the point I want to make is that you don't know where the opportunity is going to come from. But the moral of the story is you have to keep yourself out there. You have to share your passion, know who you are, and have multiple ways for people to connect with you. And many people would probably, they would never even think about offering that as a service of someone who wants to come inside your world. You know, many people out there are fascinated by creative people. They may be lawyers or doctors or, you know, they're, or something, some profession that's very uncreative and very unfulfilling for them. And they're looking for adventure, they're looking for excitement, and they're looking for something that takes them outside of their normal day-to-day routine. And you represent to them a breath of fresh air. You're giving, you know, they're probably sitting there fantasizing about going off and doing something that you do. And what I'm saying to you is embrace that what you do, whatever your current reality is around money stuff is right now, your life and the flexibility that you have and the fact that you've embraced your creativity, you've embraced your passion, you're going for it. Regardless of your day-to-day struggles, you're going for it. To someone else that's stuck in an unfulfilling job that's making maybe six figures, mid-six figures or more, they're wishing for the day they can quit or retire and go do something like what you're doing. So the point I'm making is to someone else, your life, the vision of your life to them is a fantasy, something that they wish they could go and do. What I'm saying to you is that look beyond the obvious. Your fellow photographers is not your target market, okay? But think about if you were to go into a group where you were around people who were like that, who were high-level executives, doctors, lawyers, people who are looking for some kind of an experience outside of the day-to-day world they live in, and you have something that you do that you're passionate about, that they actually look at and go, wow, I'd love to hang out with this guy for the day and just follow him. You know, like kind of like a day in the life. Think of some experience like that. If you just get that in your mind and start thinking that way, the opportunities to experience that with someone and be paid really, really well is really a key to totally shifting things for you. And I will say this too. When you start dealing with people of that caliber that make that kind of money, you want to make sure that you price your program at a level that feels – it may feel like a stretch to you, but it denotes value to them, okay? Now, I don't remember the exact number that Rick charged this gentleman, but I know it was in excess of $5,000. So to someone else who may be, say, someone that you may know in your immediate circle, $5,000 may seem outrageous, but to someone who has a lot of money and they're looking for an experience, $5,000 is nothing to them. So what I'm saying is whatever number you're thinking about charging, consider doubling it or quadrupling it, because to someone with six figures, that's not a lot of money to them. If they've seen the value in what you do and they just like the idea of hanging out with you, you can charge that and they will pay it. It's all about how you position yourself in the marketplace. Okay? Again, so I want to go back into talking about a little bit about more courses. You know, income opportunities range from $50, $60 for online courses. I'm going to show you a couple of examples here in a moment, up to several thousands of dollars for high-end programs and multi-day workshops. Okay, so just keep the ranges very, very, very varied. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Udemy. Udemy is a new online platform that's growing exponentially by leaps and bounds. I am seeing a lot of photographers doing courses on Udemy. This is just one that I found that I wanted to share with you, and this one by Don Giannotti. He's teaching a portrait class, a class on portrait photography with simple gear. So basically camera equipment that probably a lay person probably just has available to them, including lights and so forth. He's offering the course for $67. So far he's had 945 people have signed up and have paid for this course in one form or another. So you do the math based on that. Again, it's a very specialized topic. It's probably for the person who is not a pro photographer. It's a person who has a camera that doesn't know what, they don't know what to do with it. And so he's created a course that's available. And like I said, Udemy offers a lot of the marketing support that you might need, although you do need to do some marketing yourself. But if you don't want to deal with setting up a website, you don't want to deal with trying to find people to sign up for your course all on your own, but you are able to break your information down into videos, tutorials, and or handouts like what I'm doing with you, Udemy could be a great platform for you to explore. If you remember, I interviewed Miguel Hernandez, who has created a course called How to Create an Online Course That Sells. He's one of Udemy's like top teachers, I believe, on that subject. His interview is available in the masterclass, which you all were gifted when you signed up for this program. So I would go back and listen to that, and I do remember correctly that Miguel did make a discount voucher available for his training course, I believe, but I think that's on the gift page. If you go to getpaidforyourcreativity.com/gifts, I think you'll find Miguel's event code or his code for his class there. I think his class runs $159, and he offered it to all of us for $59, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, or half price. I don't remember. But anyway, go check that out if that sounds like something you want to explore. Okay. Now, on the flip side, so now going back to Miguel. Miguel, like I said, created a course. This isn't Miguel's course, but Miguel specializes, in teaching people how to put together courses for Udemy. So the courses on Udemy, I find, in photography, the highest I've seen is around $97. There might be a little bit more. I believe that Udemy pays out their vendors, I want to say, between 70 and 80% of the sale. So you are splitting some of the profits with them, but you do get a majority of the profits. But they do help with the marketing. Now, on the flip side of that is these two ladies, they call themselves the Boudoir Divas, Marissa Butcher and Kimberly West. They teach classes primarily for women who want to become boudoir photographers. They teach classes. They're based in San Diego, if I'm not mistaken, but they do a lot of tours, if you will, in Paris, for an example. So they'll take a group of women over. They'll go and rent an apartment in Paris, something really chic and nice, and everyone comes over and they bring in professional models and they learn how to do boudoir photography. They create another thing, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, their courses run around $2,000, and they always, always sell out. The one thing that I can say, what I love about them, their core thing that I know makes their courses always sell is that they create an experience. You cannot go wrong by creating an experience for people. People are wanting more than just the thing that you think you're teaching them. It's not about just being able to photograph, to learn how to use a camera. Anyone can go out and grab a camera and go out and play with it or read a book and learn how to shoot it. They've created an experience for their students. They're putting them up in really nice places. They're inviting in top people to work with. They're showing them and breaking down for them not only from the pictures that they're creating, which is the first piece of their portfolio, but how they can create their own boudoir photography business. So they do teaching with their students as well. So they're creating opportunities for their students. They develop products, like they have posing guides. So if you go back and after you finish the course, you can go back and look at the different poses they suggest. They teach workshops worldwide. I know every year they're at WPPI, and they're teaching a version of their class at WPPI. It always sells out, and it runs around $700 every single year. It's sold out. But their whole thing is about creating an experience and creating opportunities for their students. So this is something to really take a look at if you're thinking about the course educational model. And, again, their website is theboudoirdivas.com. Okay? Now, I want to move a little bit more to further about VIP day experiences or private mentoring. Again, the foundation is based on delivering specialized knowledge. As you looked back, Kimberly and Marisa was all about boudoir photography. Again, specialized knowledge is really important. Clients that want rapid results and personalized attention is the cornerstone of VIP day or private mentoring experiences. Okay, like the gentleman that paid Rick thousands of dollars to go to Africa, he could have just gone on his own and played with the camera by himself and figured it out on his own, but he felt valuable enough, he felt Rick's value was high enough that he was willing to pay him thousands of dollars, to jumpstart, to shortcut what he had to learn on his own. He was able to go into the field and work with someone that he respected and get a crash course, if you will, in a concentrated atmosphere that made it more of an experience for him. It wasn't about learning how to use the camera. It was about him being in an environment that he felt inspired enough by that he wanted to use his camera to document the experience. And Rick was his partner, if you will, during that time frame to make that experience more rich for him. That's the value that you all bring to the table. That's the piece I want you to connect to, because that's what people are buying. It's not about the camera, okay? So, again, you want, in this case, these are, with those kinds of experiences, if you'd like to travel, this could be something for you to consider. You can create an opportunity to travel. These clients expect a higher-end entry-level investment. So, again, price is very important. You don't want to make it too cheap. And the lower-cost entry-level things like free or low-cost talks, e-books, physical books, workshops, those can help you market the higher-priced programs. So that's why I said don't focus on trying to make all your money from the low-end stuff. Use those things to generate interest in what you do and for you to demonstrate your expertise, but have a higher priced path point to take them to if they choose to invest in that. The number one thing that these types of programs are cornerstone in is requiring a commitment to creating and delivering a memorable experience. That's the number one thing, because they will talk and tell their friends who are like them, which creates more opportunities for you. Okay. The one thing I do want to share with you is that you don't assume that you have to teach everything you know at one time. The key to make those days work, those kinds of experiences work, is to give them the core foundational piece that they need to make the experience rich for them, but don't do a complete brain dump on them, because what happens is the person gets overwhelmed and they don't know what to focus on. So you take your cues from the client, what they're saying they're most interested in learning how to do. For the clients that Marisa and Kimberly work with, they found that the topic of learning how to pose a model was more valuable to them, so much so that they focused, I'm sure, a good portion of their attention on posing skills, so much so that they ended up writing a book about it. so when you create those kinds of experience, the best question you can ask is, what do you most want to walk away from this experience with? What's the one thing that you most want? And they'll tell you. And then you then create your curriculum for those experiences around that core thing that they want. So don't try to throw everything at them. Just give them the piece that they most want and make it as rich and as rewarding as possible, and they'll do the rest of the work for you in terms of telling other people about you. Again, these can be offered in small group settings, either one-on or one-on-one. Prices can range anywhere from, I'm actually adjusting that number, from around, I would say even as low as like $97 or so virtually, could be up to $15,000 for business development-related topics delivered in person. Again, it depends upon the market. It depends upon who you're talking to. But if you know that money is not an object for a person and you're delivering that much value, you can price in the thousands of dollars range and comfortably get it. Greg Gorman, who is a celebrity and fashion photographer, teaches workshop retreats in Mendocino, California. His workshops, I believe, are minimum $5,000, and he always sells out. So that's another example. You might want to go check out his website, and then the link is here. It's Greg Gorman Work. I'm sorry, GormanWorkshops.com/workshop.html, but you'll get this link in the slideshow presentation. And also Boudoir Diva Workshops. So take a look at their websites to kind of get ideas for how you can model yours as an idea if this appeals to you at all. Okay? Now I'm going to move right into DVDs, CDs, and audio programs. Again, if you don't want to write, people are buying information in digital format. I think now, really, physical things like DVDs and CDs maybe are starting to become a little extinct. We're, I think, moving that direction. I did hear recently that Apple is planning to discontinue putting physical CD drives in their computers. Everything now is becoming downloadable digital. So the point, so just if it's not a physical DVD or CD, just think in terms of digital download. Again, these are great alternatives if you don't want to write anything, but you can talk passionately about a topic for a period of time. They don't take as long to produce as a book, but I would recommend if it is an audio-based program that you do give them an outline and you give them checklists, templates, or worksheets to work through to accompany the audio. Okay? They can be a lower cost to produce, obviously, because you don't have to hire an editor and all of that or hire a cover designer necessarily. They can produce higher profit margins as customers will expect to pay more for educational-based training. And it speaks to the people who prefer to learn by listening or watch rather than read. And there are a lot of folks out there that don't like to read stuff, so this is another option to do. Videos can be produced. If you decide to make videos and you want to do screen capture videos, I would recommend a software called Camtasia. Camtasia for doing screen share, and I think there's also Screen Flow. I personally have Camtasia as the program that I use, but you can record desktop video and screen capture video using either one of those two programs. Some people I would recommend you check out is Karen Sperling. She teaches on Painter. In particular, how photographers can use the Corel software Painter to turn their photographs into digital art. She does live workshops as well as DVDs and books. I know Karen, she does a lot of work in that realm, so you can check out her website. The link, again, is available here in the PDF, which I'll be sending out to you after the call tonight. Mira Ko is a wedding photographer turned portrait photographer, but she does workshops for women who want to, for primarily women with children, that want to learn how to use a camera to photograph their children. And she has a DVD series, several different specialized DVDs. Her website is called refusetosaycheese.com, I believe. I would recommend checking her out if you're thinking about doing video-based programs. In terms of producing the DVDs, I recommend a service called Kunaki.com, and that's K-U-N-A-K-I. Kunaki can produce CDs and DVDs for you in professional design cases as on print on demand. So the same way with a book, if you only want to print one CD, you can make one CD. If you want to make 10 or 20 or 50, you can do it that way as well. So Kunaki is a program that I recommend. It is not a, unfortunately, it is not an Apple-based program. It's only for PCs. So you will have to upload your files via a PC-based computer to get it onto Kunaki's service. Again, I've given you all of the links for ScreenFlow and for Camtasia here in this slide presentation. If you do want to do online courses like what I'm doing with you now, you might want to consider Instant Teleseminar, which is the service that I'm using. Their minimum price range is like $47 a month, but this is an option to do if you want to do like a keynote or a PowerPoint presentation with an audio voiceover like what I'm doing with you now. So that's an option if you don't want to buy software and all of that. Okay. The next model is membership websites or continuity programs. I would proceed with this model with full awareness. I don't want to say caution. I would just say awareness. The things I want to point out for you with websites that are membership-based or continuity programs is that they tend to have a higher turnover rate, meaning people will sign up for them when the interest is really high, but they can lose momentum very quickly if people don't see enough content coming through on a regular basis. They, in their own way, can be like little mini monsters, meaning that you're having to be a content-producing machine. You need to be always putting new stuff up there all the time. I would recommend only adding this piece into your income portfolio if you have a lot of content already developed and you're looking for a way to leverage existing content that you have into a model that you can just basically set up and automate. Price point will be very important to people because, again, if it's priced too high, you'll get high turnover on it. People will unsubscribe. If it's priced low enough, so basically the money is made on volume. So a lower price point means people stick around longer, but it is a volume-based transaction. So if you want to make, say, $1,000 a month, at $9.95 a month or $10 a month, you need 100 people to stay in that program every month to make $1,000 a month. If you want $1,000 a month, you need to raise the price to maybe $20 a month, you get 50 people. I'm not against it. I think it can be a great idea, but you have to have something that people are actively looking for, and they've proven that they will invest in those kinds of programs. And you need to have a library of content developed that you can bank, and then you can drop into this program on a monthly or weekly basis. I would say if you want to keep people around for a longer period of time, you need to show up yourself. So a lot of people tend to want to just put their pre-recorded, pre-written content into this model and then it's going to set it and forget it and go about their life. And the members don't ever have any interaction with you. So if you're going to use this model, you need to jump on there at least once a month to do Q&A, do an open office hour day, or teach something that's live, virtually live, for them to keep them engaged. Otherwise, you'll get a higher opt-out or people not staying in the program is what I'm saying. Again, it doesn't have to be solely product-based. It can be service-based as well. So if you have someone that, hires you for regular services, you can, space out their payments over a period of time. So it's like a continuity thing. Each month they bring you in for new things that they need to have done. So it's not exclusively about a website. Again, this does provide an opportunity for steady income streams. They can be a perfect add-on feature for your VIP or workshop students. So if you have something that you want to offer them beyond their experience with you, whether it's one day, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 months, or whatever, the continuity model can be a benefit to them because they will get a chance to stay with you and still keep getting more information from you beyond the time that you're spending together in the live experience. But I still recommend having some piece of you show up live at least once or twice a month to keep them engaged. And it's a great way to move into inventory on an ongoing basis if you do have a lot of a bank of a lot of inventory already set up. This is a gentleman, Matthew Archambault. He is a drawing instructor. He teaches drawing, and he has done a website called Drawing Tutorials Online, teaches all kinds of ways to do drawing work. This can be applicable to any of you in your own ways, depending upon your subject matter. But he runs a successful membership website. He breaks down, you know, the thing which makes this work is breaking down your knowledge and your skills and resources into bite-sized chunks. So, again, you don't want to overwhelm with too much. You want to give them smaller, digestible pieces, and you want to span it out so that they stay in your program longer. I'm going to recommend some resources to set up your own website as a your blog in particular with a membership model if you choose to. And, again, he also does DVDs and books and other physical products, so people do buy those products in addition to the monthly membership that they pay him. I will put his web address in the notes because I don't think I have it in the slide here. If you're thinking about doing a digital content delivery-based membership website and you do use WordPress, I recommend two services, actually. Well, one of them is Wishlist Products. I think the website is called member.wishlistproducts.com. It's a plug-in for $97 that you can purchase, and you add it onto WordPress. It allows you to schedule content to be delivered or dripped out over a period of time as opposed to all at once. You can set it up that way. So say if you have like 10 weeks or 20 weeks worth of work already set up and ready to go, you can set it up in the system on the website and then schedule it to go out once a week or once a month, however you want to do it. So that way it's kind of automated. But again, I would still jump on and do something interactive with them at least once a month, either a video chat, maybe a Google Hangout for an example, or a video audio program or something like what we're doing here on Instant Teleseminar. And this is also the link to Matthew's website, drawingtutorialsonline.com. You can set up recurring billing on PayPal, for an example that I do know. If you are going to mail physical products, make sure that you do cover shipping and handling costs. So build that into your price. Okay? So that's one way that you can set up a membership website or a continuity type program. The next model is business in a box. Again, this is something that if you had, let's say for an example, you know soup to nuts everything a person that needs to know about how to set up a commercial photography business, everything from contracts to how to find clients to how to bill them to how to set up your website to all the things you know, like I would just give yourself a chance to do a complete brain dump of every single piece that you know. Those types of programs do sell. People are looking for business opportunities, and if you can offer something like that as an example, that could be a model for you to consider creating. Again, these are only beneficial to you if you have a proven track record. You know, if you've built a business and operated for a period of time and you've achieved a significant measure of success, you don't need to be rich, but you need to know every single thing that they need to know about how to start this kind of a business up if they want to model what you do. You have a significant amount of knowledge to share. Customers for this type of program want to know the pitfalls and the mistakes to avoid, if not more so than the successes that you had. You will want to consult with an attorney and an accountant before dispensing any legal advice or contracts just to make sure that what you're giving them is on the level. And you know, you can begin creating these types of programs quite easily over a period of time as you develop and produce each component of content. So what I'm saying is that you don't have to have it all done as a one-time, create everything at once and do it. This could tie into your continuity program where you give them this education over a year or over 6 months, for an example. So each month they get a new piece of it, and you can share it out that way. Okay. Business in a box can be tied to ongoing coaching and or consulting services. So you can give them already pre-written, pre-designed, pre-formatted content, but then you add on your one-to-one time with them over the phone or consulting to give them answer their questions because they're going to have quite a few most likely. what makes that, this quite frankly makes this kind of model the most valuable to them, because people want their questions answered in real time. They don't want to just get a box of stuff and then try to figure out what to do with it on their own. You know, the thing that makes this work is an established audience that's eager to invest in their dream, what they want to create. There are people that you can easily find, so maybe people who are considering maybe coming out of school. I know some schools don't really teach a lot of business-related subjects, so this might be a benefit to students who are just coming out, possibly, as an example, depending upon, again, your subject and genre. Price points for these kinds of programs can run between, I would say, up to $5,000, because, again, that's with you being involved in their process as well, up to $100 plus per hour, depending upon the type of business, your credibility, your knowledge, and desire for the market that you're working with. This kind of model does require that you establish your authority through writing, speaking, teaching, coaching, and or consulting. So you need to be out there visible for people to see you in order to see the value in what you do. And again, the materials can be offered in a variety of form, physical, i.e., you know, printed material, DVDs, CDs or DVDs, or digital, all downloadable through your website, for an example. Okay? So with retail and direct sell-based programs, again, these are basically you in a physical space selling your product directly. So either trunk shows or gallery shows, website or online sales, meaning you're selling your physical work, finished work on your website. Retail accounts could be, like I said, merchandising-type products. You also want to look at possibly joint venture partnerships. I talked about that in your centers of influence, getting in contact with these people, because you may be able to do joint venture deals with them. As I spoke about the photographer who matches up with a cosmetic surgeon and offers portrait work for his clients who have had cosmetic surgery done, they can work out deals together where he may even build that into their service that he charges them for and then pays out the photographer. So those are just examples of how you can create potential joint venture partnerships. Again, membership programs can also be tied into retail-based sales. So maybe they get a piece of what you do at the retail level, but then they get ongoing material from you on a monthly basis in a continuity or membership-type model. For an example, my friend who does the posters, he does shows with his work. He may or may not get sales on location, but then he lets them know about his monthly receive a poster in the mail program, and then people then can sign up that way. So you're taking the retail or the face-to-face experience and creating a leverageable way to continue the income after you're out of the physical space of them. Okay? And then the next piece is licensing. Again, with trunk shows, it can be a great way, or gallery shows, can be a great way to move inventory, open up new markets, and connect you in having conversation with potential new buyers. Establishes your credibility in the community. You can take the temperature of the marketplace by communicating with them directly with the customer before investing too much money in supplies or inventory for yourself. Helps you build your mailing list quickly, so you need to have some way to collect names and email addresses and physical addresses if you can. Built-in travel opportunities if you love to travel can be a great way to get more steady retail accounts. And similar venues might also have, you may be able to find other venues similar to the one that you're displaying in more easily because you're out in the community. People will come out and say, oh, why don't you bring your show here, or what have you. Those opportunities do come up for you in those kinds of experiences. I would say make a list recommendation, make a list of places you want to potentially work with. If you're in a place that you feel your work might be a good fit for, don't be afraid to approach the manager. Retail spaces right now in particular are always looking for fresh and innovative ways to bring people in the door. So if your work is a complement to their customer base, they will be very receptive to hearing from you. Again, don't limit your ask to retail establishments. You want to base this on where does your ideal customer hang out. So it could be spas, country clubs, resorts, private homes, yacht clubs, even cruises, for an example. Get into the habit of connecting with your centers of influence in your local community that you have and that has access to your customer. Think seminar leaders, public speakers, and workshop coordinators and event planners. And don't be afraid to travel if you have to. You never know where your next contact will come from, and always keep samples of your work with you. Okay? For web online sales, make it easy for customers to purchase from you. Use high-quality photography, obviously, that shows off your work. Provide plenty of close-up detail shots, because people do like that online. Use accurate keyword terms that your customer would type into a search engine to find your work. You want to think in terms of themes, subject matters, even colors, industries, people who, you know, their professions, that kind of thing. Those are part of your keyword terms. Consider offering payment plans. Again, people nowadays are looking for various ways to purchase from you. They may not be able to buy everything up front, so payment plans may be a benefit to them. Provide lots of written and or visual tutorials suggesting how people can use your products. That's a really great selling point. If you sell work that someone wants to hang into their home, show them how they can display it, what they should be looking for in the framing, framers that you recommend, the types of framing that you recommend, all of that kind of thing. Give them tutorials on how they can use your work in their real-life setting. And consider bundling your products or services with other complementary vendors. So, again, that influence worksheet is where you will want to start getting that list filled out, because then you can look at where you can complement one another and create new opportunities for yourself, for both of you. Consider offering starter entry-level pricing for people who want to get a taste of you but they don't want to invest a lot of money up front just yet. At least have one luxury or high-end service or item available on your website if it's applicable, like I talked about the VIP day or the mentoring or, you know, private experiences. Offer your customer service number if people have any questions about your product. Always, always, always invite people to sign up for your mailing list. This is the most important thing. You want to start getting that information so you can reach out to people. Communicate. Once a week is debatable. I wrote this in initially, and now I'm thinking maybe twice a month minimum is best. I think once a month is not enough. So at least twice a month they should hear something from you, just to remind them that you're around and what you're doing and that you're available. Don't overwhelm them with long emails. Short and sweet works better. Feature only one visual item and a direct call to action. Okay, so the newsletter used to be the way we communicated. People don't read all that stuff anymore. Give them short, sweet emails with one call to action, nothing more. Go to my website, sign up for this free class, or come out to my event, or whatever. But make it really simple and don't overwhelm with too much. And use compelling headlines to increase your opt-in rate on emails. So you don't want to make it, "Hi, it's me," or whatever. You want to make it a headline that if you saw it in all the emails you're looking at in your browser, what would make me click to open this email? Okay. The best way to get people to open email fast is put their name in the subject header. People open up emails faster with their name because it feels it's addressed to them. Okay. Joint venture partnerships. Again, you want to think of people you work with that do compete with you. So another photographer in the same genre would not be a joint venture person for you. But you want something where both parties can get something substantial. Think win-win, not you get and they lose, but something that gives them both a saving of time and or money. Make it easy for potential JV partners to say yes to you. In other words, be willing to do the bulk of the work, especially if they have to bring to the table the customer base, for an example. So make it easy for them to say yes, like, "I'll set up the website," or "I'll make sure the website is set up," or "I'll design the postcards and have them printed," or whatever you can do to make it easy for them to say yes. Always be looking for complementary but non-competing partners. Be clear on expectations of what you want from the arrangement. Think outside the box and get everything in writing. Okay? If you teach photography classes, for an example, think beyond just the obvious. I mean, potentially photo labs, which we don't really have photo labs that much anymore. I mean, they're kind of not as main as they used to be. Most of this is done online now. But frame stores might be a possibility for you. But I would even go beyond all of the photography directly related. Go to where the customer hangs out, for an example. the end customer would hang out. Consider offering classes there. Those kinds of places are really not as obvious, and you won't have as much competition, if any at all. You know, for example, if you sell jewelry, partner with suppliers to create jewelry-making kits, or whatever you do, how you can make a kit out of it of some sort. Partner with suppliers if you offer a product that offers supplies to a customer. Crafters, for an example. So make a list of those kinds of people on your Center of Influence worksheet. And I start saying, start securing the names of suppliers or other vendors that are closely related to your industry. The number one thing is get into the habit of asking and accepting that you will get no's, but the no isn't the final answer. It's just for that person it's a no. It doesn't mean that no was the answer across the board. So it's about making sure that you stay in communication with people. Now, licensing is not an area that I have a lot of expertise in, but what I do want to tell you what I do know about licensing, if this is something that is of interest to you. I do know that one of you did email me about licensing, so I do want to tell you what I know about that. Licensing could be a great viable alternative if you don't want to handle inventory, including managing the cost of supplies or inventory. If you've always dreamed of getting your artistic images on products, then licensing is definitely one strong consideration to go because you're not laying out the money to buy those supplies or inventory. Licensing is the closest thing to publishing your own book or a publisher for, say, music with a music label or record label. But you have to keep in mind that licensing is not a you come in, you sell your rights to your work, and you get paid up front. Typically what happens is that the person is investing in putting your work on their merchandise, as an example, and you're getting paid royalties based on sales. So it's not a quick income-generating opportunity. And you also have to make sure that you are in alignment with the licensee because, for an example, you may not like the direction that they're going. You may not like the quality of their products they're putting your work on. So you really want to do your homework, and I'll give you a resource to find out more about this and how to find a licensee in a moment. Keep that unestablished artists are rarely paid up front. So meaning if you don't have a reputation already, they typically will not pay you up front in a licensing arrangement. They will give you payment only after products are produced and sold. More established artists will make money up front in a licensing deal, but again, those have to be negotiated. The pluses and minuses to this arrangement. The most being is that you have to make sure that you have a trustworthy licensing deal because, again, these people, you know, you don't know them. You know, are they a person of their word? You're going to need to bring in an attorney to make sure that they read the contract and the fine print. You need to be good about negotiation skills and make sure that you understand what you're getting, when you're getting it, how they're using your work, and is there a limit to because, see, what even could happen is that if they license your work, you may not be able to sell it while it's under licensing. So you need to be able to get clear about that. Licensing for art in particular may be an issue for you if you fear selling out. I know some people have a fear about that, so I felt the need to bring that up. And you will be asked and expected to make changes to designs and or images based on the licensing needs. So if they like what you have but they want it in a different format, they want a different color palette or whatever the case may be, you have to remember that they're the seller of the work and they dictate what ultimately ends up happening. So you need to be able to be flexible in that respect. You know, again, you could wait up to 18 months before you start seeing any money on licensing. I would recommend a website called artlicensinginfo.com to get more information about licensing. It is a possibility, but it's one I would proceed with caution and do your due diligence. Okay? And this was one gentleman that I wanted to share with you. We're actually towards the end of our presentation here just about, but this gentleman here, his name is Mark Montano. He is a person who is very passionate about taking ordinary household stuff and turning it into different ways, of using it, multipurposing it in your life and home interiors and all this other kind of fun stuff. So anyway, I decided to put him in here because he encompasses a lot of these things I've talked about. He does publishing, he does retreat, you know, teaching, he has a TV show. He does all kinds of things. He embraces the media. That's his number one thing. He really embraces media. He has a book series called the Big Ass Book series of craft books and idea books and that kind of thing. So if you're looking to really become like the media mogul of your industry, and you want to own and dominate a particular industry, this is somebody worth checking out just to get inspiration from his website. He has a really inspirational website. His name is Mark Montano. I think it's markmontano.com. Check out some of the things he's doing. It's a fun sort of I just think he has a lot of cool ideas, and I think some really interesting ways to connect with his audience, and he's built a brand. So if you're really thinking about what's your brand message, he's someone that I would recommend taking a look at just to kind of get a sense of how he's taken all of this I've talked about and turned it into like a media empire that includes, like I said, a lot of different ways to connect with his customers. So we're at the end here. What I wanted to just give you really quickly is that you have a couple of downloads I made available to you. One is an income portfolio worksheet. This one here you would use to make a list of your topics, your passions, and subjects that you care about. Remember what's second nature to you. Someone is searching for your help and support and is willing to pay you for it. It's important not to censor yourself here. But I would recommend to avoid overwhelm is to pick one item and write down at least 5 ways based on what I shared with you, you could potentially turn it into an income stream for you. You want to base it on one core talent, one core expertise. You can do this with multiple different things, but for this exercise, do it for just one so you don't overwhelm yourself. Okay? Let's see here. And the other thing is what's next. So you want to download and fill out the income portfolio worksheet. You'll find a copy here in the member area. It's also on this webcast page. Make a note of the ideas presented today and jot down the ones that resonate with you the most. Select a couple of things, but one you can implement in the next week or two, and possibly one that may be a longer-term project. So for an example, you might decide, you know, I think I want to try my hand at maybe creating an online course. Okay, that could be your shorter-term thing, and then your longer-term thing could be a book. Or your shorter-term thing could be, I want to see if I can create a mentoring experience or a one-on-one experience for a higher ticket price point, and then the longer-term project is the book or whatever. The reason why I recommended those things first is that most people default to doing the thing that costs the least first, and most people default to doing the book first. I say challenge yourself to reverse engineer that and go with the thing where you can make more money from first, because it requires that you have one-on-one connection with people now, that you talk to now, find out what they want now, and if they're ready for you, they can say yes to you now and you can make money now. The book is a longer-term project, and even if you sell it, you've got to sell multiples of those to make any money from. So let your experiences of working with people one-on-one dictate writing the book, and think of the book more as a leverage tool and a marketing tool as opposed to an income generator, okay? So I would say go for the higher end first, mid to higher end first, and then the lower cost entry-level things last. And a lot of folks won't tell you that, but in my experience, higher end is easier to sell and faster to sell than taking months and weeks to write a book and then hoping you sell a few copies of it. So if you have something already outlined, use that as the foundation of your higher-end experience and then work on your book incrementally until you get to a place where you're ready to go to the next level and have another way for people to get a piece of you outside of that one-on-one experience. The bottom line is do not waste precious time being overwhelmed by all of this. It doesn't serve you. You only can do one thing at a time. Focus on what's most important to you in the moment. Okay? So going for people that can help you generate income now by those conversations, one-to-one meetings, phone calls, emails, whatever you do to communicate with those folks, is your fastest path, and let the leverageable things like the books and so forth come in over time, but focus on what's going to bring me in the most for the least amount of work. And if you're going to work hard, work for the things that are going to give you the most amount of money now. That will give you the cash flow cushion that you want that you can then explore the other things. Okay? So always try to go for the higher-end, upper-end experiences first, and then the leverageables like the courses and other things like that, possibly a little bit later down the line. But work with what's best for you in the moment. All right? So that's basically all I've got for you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch back over to the Q&A, and I am going to let's see, some questions have come in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to answer a few questions I see in the chat. Seth Resnick runs photo and other programs in Iceland, Africa, and Antarctica for lots of money. Yeah, you can see there. I mean, you can see examples every day of someone doing this. Jonathan said Blurb has become embedded in Adobe Lightroom. Wonderful. Didn't know that. Great. Thanks for letting me know that, Jonathan. You can sell them for whatever fee you want, set from your website. Sarah asks, what grade level would you say the writing should be directed to for an ebook, or does that matter? You know what? And you said, like, newspapers are written for third grade level. Yes. Same thing. Same thing. You don't want to write, this is what I want to be really, really, really clear on. You don't want to write in, be very careful. Let me put it like this. Be very careful of using second nature to you technical jargon that the person reading it may not get. And I'll share with this with you right now. When I first started learning about photography, I was actually, I wouldn't ask someone what an aperture was because I didn't know what it meant, and I didn't want to seem like I was stupid. So I would go and I would look it up online to find out what it was. So the point I'm making is that clearly, I mean, there are things you're going to have to tell people that are, you know, if someone wants to learn about photography, you're going to have to talk about aperture, for an example. So, you know, you want to explain it to them. So the point I'm making is if you use words that is not languaging, that is not the quote-unquote norm or that people normally speak with, and it's more technical referenced, just give clear third-grade level descriptions. You want to make it that a six-year-old can walk away from what you said and understand what you meant. So you want to be able to write, yes, in a very it's just in a very basic, everyday language kind of way that they can walk away from it and know what it meant. And if you focus on that, you'll be fine. So let's see. I'm gonna move over to the phones here, and if anyone has a question for me, please just hit star 2 and raise your hand. And I would love to address any questions for you here. Also, I want to kind of go over some of the other worksheets that I have in there for you, too. I gave you three other worksheets. There's a 30-minute income portfolio button there. That's a couple of these exercises you can use with what I shared with you tonight. There's the income generator exercise and the ideal work lifestyle template. Those will help you to kind of get an idea about where you're at personally, and where all of these are, or any of these ideas actually will be applicable to you right now in your business. Let's see here. What was the other ones that I had up for you, too? I have the income idea exercise generator and the ideal work lifestyle template. The thing that you want to keep in mind with these and why I create these worksheets is because you want to make sure that what you pick to do is actually going to fit with the way you want your life to be. So you wouldn't want to pick something that's going to be a time drain on you if it's not something that you naturally enjoy doing, okay? Because, again, this is about your life. This isn't just about what you're doing to make money. This is about how you're living your life and experiencing your life. So you want to be able to offer things to people, yes, that can generate income for you, but also in a way that you feel good about offering, good about wanting to do. So make sure that as you're choosing what kind of life you want, what kind of lifestyle you want for yourself as you're making your decisions, consult with that as a part of your experience. So this is basically what I had for you for this evening. I hope that I didn't overwhelm you with too much. I know it was quite a bit, but I wanted to give you just some things to jumpstart your thinking and to get you get you really in the mindset that you have so much available to you that you're probably not even implementing. I mean, I've been given lots of feedback from many of you about different things that you do. You know, some of you have written books, some of you teach already. You know, if you've taught offline, consider teaching online now. There's a lot of opportunities available for you now. You just need to have an audience that's looking for what your subjects are. If you've written a book already, look at how you can maybe take that book and break it apart and update the information, and as opposed to writing a new book on it, maybe break it down into like a course. And it also can be an email course. You know, people don't really realize that you can email lessons to people each week and get together in like a Google Hangout and have them share their work with you, and you grade it or critique it or whatever the case may be, and just give them feedback. That literally is something you can do like next week. I mean, seriously, all you need is just people who are actively looking for this topic. Let them know what you're getting ready to offer and put it together. So you give them a chapter, you give them an outline, you get on the phone, you do Google Hangout with them, and you just share with them. People are just looking for mentoring. They're looking for support. They're looking for someone that they look up to as a center of influence. All of you are centers of influence. I want to emphasize that here. All of you have something that you've spent years and probably thousands of dollars to learn how to do. And someone out there is just scratching the surface, and they don't know where to turn. They don't know where to look. So they're looking for more information from you. And you can be a resource to them. So be that for them where you can. So what I want to do is, if anyone had a question for me, you want to talk to me live in our last few minutes, please hit star 2 and I'll address those questions now. And one thing while I'm waiting on that to come through is, or you can type into the chat and I'll address them there. Susan asked how much to charge for an email course. Good question. Email courses, I would probably say, I think a comfortable area, depending upon the topic that you do, I would say around $97, I think, is a good number to offer for an email course. Again, email, you know, the thing that I want to caution about that is, do provide some level of direct contact with you. So if you do email them lessons once a week, provide a once a week or a, or, you know, let's say if it's a 4-week course like this, I could deliver these lessons to you by email once a week, but what I feel you all got the most value out of this from was talking to me once a week, you know, getting questions answered from me once a week. That gave you more value, I feel, than just me emailing you a bunch of documents in the mail. So you do need to have an interactive experience in there somewhere. It can be a Google Hangout if you don't mind being on camera. It can be over the phone. There's a service called freeconferencing.com, which is free, and give everyone a central number, and you all dial in, and you get their questions answered that way. You can offer open office hour days once a week and say, you know, I'm going to send you the lessons by email, and then on, say, Thursdays from 12 to 2, I'm going to offer open office hour days. You can email your question in to me, and I will address it there, or you can call in, and I'll answer your question that way. So what I'm saying is don't complicate this. Don't complicate it. The more important is how it's delivered is of least importance than it is making sure that what you're delivering is what people really want. Okay? That I can't emphasize enough. You know, Sarah asked, what if you have several subjects that you're passionate about? How do you choose which one to work on first? Easy question to answer. Which one are people more ready to pay for first? That's what you do. So you get all the list of all the things you're passionate about, but then you start asking people in your network on social media, if you're active on social media, you know, you start putting out little feelers that I'm thinking about creating something around this, or I'd love to talk to you about this. Can you email me, or can I email you or have a phone conversation with you? And ask them what in particular they want to know about that subject. That's the most important piece. So don't create any curriculum. Don't create any kind. Don't even make a decision about what the title of the class should be until you talk to at least 3 to 5 people that have raised their hands, said they're interested, and you find out what they want. You are co-creating all of this with your target audience, not you sitting in your room or at a coffee shop writing down what you think this is supposed to be and then going out trying to sell it. Okay? So you want to start using, you can use surveys. If you have a mailing list of some sort to do this, I recommend SurveyMonkey as an idea for you to consider. But this is one of the things that I recommend you do. But you definitely do not create anything in a vacuum, and you don't create it with people who are not your potential client. Like another photographer, unless it's a course for them, for an example, is not your target audience. Who's going to take this course? Where can I find them? Where can I find a group of them? You know, is there a meetup I can go to? Is there a networking event I can go to? A class or a seminar I can go to that I can start talking to like-minded people? That's the best way to answer that question. And you also ask how much they're willing to pay for it. Because they'll tell you. If you ask people, they'll tell you. People want to know that they're being heard. That's the most important thing. Bar none, the most important thing. Okay. Any other questions you want to type into the web chat? I'm on fire and I'm ready to answer you. Anything you have for me, I'm ready to go. So fire away. This is your time. Let's see here. Let me go back over to the Q&A. So while I mentioned about surveys, and I see your question, Lita, I'm going to answer it in just a second. While I'm on the question of surveys, I would appreciate it greatly if you all, I did put a link there on the webcast page there for, let's see, I'm going to delete some of these. I have too many windows open and I can't find things. What did you think about this program? And if you would do that for me, that would help me so much. It would help me to define how I can help you further in the future or other people like you in the future. So please take some time to do that little Q&A for me. So I'm going to go back to Lita's question. What are your thoughts and ideas on children's books for children under the age of 5? E versus physical books, price points, is the parent, the target market, or the kid? Great question. Recently, Lita, I heard of a lady who is turned her children's books into apps, and she's, which I didn't know this myself because I don't have children, but I recently had a friend of mine who has, I think, a four-year-old, who knows her way around an iPad. I had no idea that children that young knew what to do with an iPad. But I guess that's what children now are using as their form of entertainment education-based work. So I would normally not, and I didn't talk about apps because I really don't have a lot of knowledge about the development of apps, but I would say consider that, and there is a resource I do have about that, and I will email you. I will email you, or I'll put it into the member area of the website where you can find that for those of you who might want to explore apps. But that's what I'm hearing now on the street. That's the new trend now in children's books is apps. So basically, they're getting the stories in a multimedia format. So they're hearing the words being said, and they're seeing the stories being laid out. Obviously, the child is the customer because they are the ones that are going to they are going to communicate with the story, but the parent is the one paying for it. So obviously, you would want to test out your stories with children's groups to see how kids are responding to it, because if the kids engage with the story, then obviously the parent's going to want to support it, provided that the story is something that the parent feels they want their child to see. And clearly I wouldn't think you would put out a story with any kind of, heavy themes that they wouldn't want their child to read. So I would get involved in some kind of a children's reading group and maybe start sharing little pieces of your story. I wouldn't just default to going and designing an app. What I would say is to see if you can go and do readings. My client in Los Angeles who wrote a children's book, she did the majority of her market research once she developed her book into going out to schools and going to hospitals where children were in, sick children or children that were primarily in the cancer wards. She would go and read her story to them. And that's how she was able to find out more about what children were interested in. and it's grown into other things that she didn't expect, neither one of us saw really coming. But that's how she got. So, again, I go back to, I default to this every single time I say something. Go back to the street. Get in front of people and talk to them. Let them tell you what they're responding to. And then you make your decision about what you're going to create out of that from that real-world feedback. So I would definitely just take your stories. Find, I know there's no problem finding a place where you can go and read your stories. Go out and arrange some meetings. Go out and do some readings and see how children are responding. And ask the parents. You know, do you let your child, you know, use an iPad? Do they read new children's stories on iPads already? For an example, which ones do they read? If you have an iPad, you go check them out. You purchase them. You see how they're laying them out, how they're orchestrating them, and then that way you get a sense of how your story could be applicable in that way. And ask them, would they prefer it as a thing on their iPad to play with, or would they prefer it in a book format? I don't know. Again, your customer has to tell you that. So you need to start communicating with them and asking them what they want, and then make your decisions based on that research. So let's see. Susan says, so does that mean one should take a course and make it into an app? Does that mean? I'm not sure what you mean, Susan. I'm going to actually, if you don't mind, I'm going to put you on the phone and speak with you directly because I'm not sure what that means. In terms of the survey, I like SurveyMonkey. Google is fine. You can do Google Forms on Google Forms, but I like SurveyMonkey actually a little better. You can ask up to 10 questions for free, and I would recommend that. So I'm going to go back over here, and I believe that you're still on. Are you not on the phone? No, you're not on the phone anymore. Okay. Well, email me, and I can answer your question directly. If you want to hop back on Skype, I can, or whatever, I can answer your question live. But I'm not quite sure what that last question was. In terms of if it's a course or an app, I'm not quite clear on that one. So Susan's going to call in. So anyone else have a question for me you'd like to ask? I'm all ears and open for you here. We're going to be on for about another – I'll be on as long as you need me. So I don't have anywhere to go. I will be here for as long as you need me. So anyone has a question, and if you want to ask on the phone, hit star 2. I'll address your question there. Or you can type it into the chat. Now, while I'm waiting for Susan's call to come in on the phone, I think she's going to call in. I did want to ask for me to ask for you, ask of you, what do you need next? Because I definitely am a firm believer in not leaving you hanging or with questions still answered or wanting to know more of. So another reason for doing the survey for me is it lets me know how I can support you further and what you need next. Or do you need more of the same, just in a different way? So one of the things that I did want to just bring up is that I am going to be starting a new group for this same course starting next Tuesday. I'm not sure exactly how many people are going to be in that program yet, but we are going to be starting up a new group next week. I did want to extend the invitation to all of you if you would like to consider taking the class again. I will probably be teaching some things a little different than I did this time. I'm all based on feedback. So if you would like to consider signing up for that course again with me, I would and love to have you. I will be making it available for only half price, so it'll be $97 for the full 5 weeks. And we can dive in even deeper into the subjects that you already now are familiar with because of the outline that you've been given. So if you would be interested in that, please send me over an email to Rodney@RodneyWashington, and I'll send you over the information how to sign up for that. I also want to extend the invitation to do an advanced class, but I'm basing it more on what you all individually need. So one of the reasons for doing the survey is that it helps me to find out what your particular needs are. I'm thinking based on what I'm seeing already is it can be anything from looking at your web copy to your testimonial review to looking at how you're interacting on social media, if your social media profiles are ready to go and bringing in customers, to maybe some of these ideas I introduced you to tonight. If you're thinking about developing a course or a program or a product, So it would be more like a mastermind. It would be, a small group with just all of you who are in this existing group. So it wouldn't be new people in there, just you all. I would probably do it on a Wednesday night, and it would be the same 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks. If you'd like that, and this would be basically, so each week you would email me what you need me to focus on for you, and then on the group call I would jump on and then just spend that time coaching. But I would look at anything you send me and review it for you and give you support directly on how you can move forward with that. If that is something that does appeal to you, please let me know. Email me that as well, and I'll let you know. I am thinking about offering that for, like, the same price, $197, for 5 weeks, and it would be basically like a small group private mentoring. So it wouldn't be so much of a curriculum like this one was, but it would be your Q&A time, and I would be able to direct your resources a lot better and go under the hood with you a little bit deeper. If you do decide to go with that private sort of mastermind group with just us, for that I would also gift you into the new group of this same existing course. So you can basically come and listen to any of the, you could come on Tuesday night, drop in on any of those and kind of get a refresher of what I've talked about over the last 5 weeks. You would get that on Tuesdays. And then you could come on Wednesday nights, and then that would be the private mentoring group, where you could get your more direct questions answered. So anything from website reviews to social media, auditing, to anything of that nature, looking at your copy, any kind of promos that you're going to create, any kind of advice and support you would need around that, or any type of product development that you're thinking about doing. So, again, if that appeals to you, I would offer that to you for the same price, $197, and then you can just join us on Tuesdays if you'd like to come back to kind of get a refresh of this course again. So I know I gave a lot of information in a short amount of time, so you might want to kind of go back over it again. And you get your questions answered that way, too, so you kind of give me two for the price of the price of one. So if that appeals to you, email me at Rodney@RodneyWashington, and I'll set you up that way. So I'm going to answer Susan's question here. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You sound like you're doing good. So my question was, you were talking about doing an app for a child's book,
mm-hmm.
and I was wondering if you could do an app for an online course.
Yes, there are people who are doing that. Now, the thing, you know, I can see how an app for a children's book might be a little bit more easier to put together. And what I mean by that is you already would have a narrative. So you basically are just taking the artwork and you're taking the audio, assuming that you're reading it or someone's reading the story, and you're just working with someone to help you lay it all out in an app form. So the content is already decided, is what I'm saying. With a more adult-oriented experience, how the content is displayed and what people really want, you're going to have to, again, in either case, you've got to do your due diligence. You've got to be talking to people to find out what they want and if they even want an app. So, again, don't marry an idea. Just say, this is what I'm thinking about doing, and I want to start talking to people on the street to find out what it is that they're needing. Because once you start doing that, then you're able to then make decisions based on reality, not fantasy or what you hope someone's going to want. And that's what's really important. That's what a lot of people start to lose sight on, because they start getting all excited about something, and they don't know at all if anyone even wants this thing.
Okay.
So definitely something that I would highly recommend that you start doing. And again, just find out how people are, what people are wanting. Because this, especially now, so many apps are being designed, and I don't even know. I mean, I have a ton of apps on my iPad, and I don't even know how many apps I even pay attention to. The ones I will say I pay the most attention to are the digital books and digital magazines. Those I read. But the other ones I kind of pay attention to, maybe a little bit, maybe so not. So it really, really depends. And again, if that's something that you all would like to know more about, I'm more than happy to do my due diligence with that and present that if you decide to join me in the mastermind, because I think this might be a topic that might be of interest to you, but I want to make sure, and I do have someone actually that's an expert in this that I could actually have him come onto one of the calls and give you all sort of the breakdown of what needs to go into putting together an app.
So you said something that triggered a thought. I have a book. Does that mean, are you saying that I could turn that book into an app? No.
Possibly. Possibly. The thing, again, I would go back to
the
customer that currently is reading your book, what they wanted in an app.
All right.
What would they want to see? If I was going to do it as an app, what would you want to see in this app?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So every one of you needs to start focusing on creating your own mini focus groups, because that's where this information is going to come from. And once you get that information under the belt, then we can move forward with what you need to do to tangibly put it together. But you need to do your due diligence first. So I would just ask people, 5-10 people, I'm thinking about doing an app based on this. What would you want in this? Do you even see this as an app? And let them guide you.
That might be an interesting addition to your course, as far as like putting together a survey to ask people in the streets or, you know, to take their passes or whatever.
Absolutely.
What they want.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I had thought about in the advanced course, was giving you all the templates for these surveys and how to set them up and what questions to ask, and then analyzing that data. So I'm more than happy to provide that. In the mastermind, I'd be more than happy to do that. Like I said, I don't have a formal curriculum for it. I'm leaving it more up to what you're telling me you need, and then I customize it based on the responses that you give me. But, yeah, I definitely have clear ideas about what should go in those templates. Also, how to get that information from social media as well, because I think that's also another way to find out what people are really wanting. But how to run little mini focus groups, because it's not the question, it's asking the right question. Because you can get data, but it could be all the wrong data. And then you're basing something based on not what people are going to. I want to know, what are you going to invest in? If I made this, what would you invest in? And that's what you want to know.
And that'd be awesome. Can we have that class tomorrow?
Well, as I said, I mean, I'm pretty much ready to go, because I have a sense based on what you guys have already shared with me, what you're needing. So as I said before, I'm so ready to do part two of this, like I said, starting next week. So if those of you who are interested in it, let me know. And like I said, email me at Rodney Washington, and we'll set it up. And we'll start this up next week, because I'm ready to go. I've got so much stuff ready to give you guys and to take this further. So I definitely feel like this is something that, you know, you guys are clearly connecting to. And I want to make sure that you, while the momentum is going, I want to keep the energy moving. I do know the following week is, I think, around the 4th of July, so we might be skipping, we might have to take a week break over the 4th of July week, because I think 4th of July falls on like a Wednesday or a Thursday, and some of you might be traveling and that kind of thing. So we might do skip a week and then start back up the week after that, but it would be like another 4 to 5 week, probably 5 week program. I would just commit to 5 weeks with you, so and we would just take this conversation further.
Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what I'm going to do, Susan, is I'm going to switch over, because I think Jonathan has a question for me. Are there any guidelines and partnerships where major artists has consented to being photographed for a full day but requires a percentage of future sales for books, prints, et cetera, or license of images? Oh, that's a good question. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back and mute you again, Susan. Let me go back and do that real quick. And
Hello. Can you hear me?
The moderator has left the conference.
Hi, guys. I'm so sorry. I don't know what in the world happened. I could not get back on. I apologize for that. Let me go over to Q&A and see if there's anyone there. I'm so sorry about that. Let's see here. I know that Jonathan was trying to call back in, but it didn't go through. Can you guys hear me?
I can. This is Lita.
Okay. Lita, you're there. Okay. And I think Ira was still here. I don't know if he disconnected or not. I don't know what happened. I just could not get back in. I may have lost everyone because we were towards the end of the call. But I'm so sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I tried like 8 times in a row and it wouldn't let me back onto the call. Let me see if anyone else is on the... Ira's still here. Okay, great.
It's linked out, and then we could maybe hear one or two of one another, and then it just, it sounded like there was a microphone on in an empty room.
That's so weird. I wonder what happened. Okay, so I think, I don't know if Sarah's still here. I don't know. I really wanted to answer Jonathan's question, but I'm not sure. Okay. Well, I'm so sorry about that. I don't know what happened. But anyway, I thought I extended the time long enough for us to stay on for the remainder of our time together. But anyway, did you have any other questions for me while I'm waiting to see anything? I hope Jonathan didn't go away because I wanted to answer everyone's question. Did you have any other questions for me?
I submitted one that asked for a like a checklist of all of the PDFs and audio stuff for the course.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much stuff. I'm one of those people that always misses like one or two downloads.
Right.
Yeah. What I'm learning from like these courses are, I love to listen to them on my iPhone when I'm on the subway because I live in New York. But
right.
They're so large that I can't download them. So I have, yeah, because they come in as these mega files, or they come in where you can only do like live streaming, and that's just not possible on the subway.
Right.
So I learned that I have to like right click on everything and save them as an audio file and then just listen
yes.
to the house. It's not an option.
Okay. Well, let's see. Are you getting the audio downloads from the membership area of the website, or are you getting them from, well, you can't get them from the webcast because I'm not making them available that way.
Because
I believe
there's that super sheet that keeps on growing, which I guess is the members area. And there's
right.
a big, like, eighth note on there that says download. Sometimes I hit it, and I, if I'm not paying attention when I hit it, and I get a web page that streams it, and then if I close my computer and then open it again, it will continue playing, or I can hit play or pause. But the way to go for me is to copy it so that I can listen to it later.
Got you. Yeah, because I believe, well, because I'm on a Macintosh too, so if you download it onto your hard drive and open the MP3 file, it should, by default, open up in iTunes.
It will do that, but I have a lot of drama relative to that because I have 4 devices. And, my laptop, well, it's, I mean, that's not a bad thing. I have, like, a big desktop to do photo editing. I've got an iPad, obviously the phone, and then an Air that I take with me when I go to work and things like that. And the Air doesn't have that big of a capacity. So
got
I've,
you.
And, I mean, they're always evolving their products. So my phone and my iPad were physically connected to the computer, and then they switch so that you don't have to do that. But then
gotcha.
That changes your whole audio system for your private stuff that you don't pay for from the iTunes store.
Got you.
I think 6 months from now I will have figured out like the way to do it to be happy on every device all the time without having to download them or doing like a Dropbox thing and stuff.
Yeah, I'm dealing with that right now with my iPad too, and a lot of things I don't load on there because I don't have the space and I don't want to. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you completely. But now I will say this, though, is that I think what I'm going to do is because, like I said, a new group is starting up next week. I think I'm going to just leave all of that there because you guys have paid for it. So all of that will be there on that page into perpetuity. So you'll always be able to access that information there. I did initially consider having a player available where you would, but I didn't want to regulate you to having to listen to it on my website. I want you to be able to download it because I know many of you want to put things on your iPhone and that kind of thing. So I wanted to make it downloadable for you to listen to on your computer or on your iPhone or iPad, but I had thought about switching that on again where you could listen to it via your via the web page itself directly. But I don't know. Personally, with me, I'd rather download it than have to listen to it on the website. So that was just my...
The website gets a little bit chunky, and then it's you can't you don't really have options. Like, I would put it in my phone if I could. But the way that... It's just... There's too many devices for everybody on the planet.
Precisely.
Even begin to just discuss how crazy it's become. But what would really be great is on that page, if you had just a checklist to say, like, week one module, here's the audio, and here's, like, the PDFs of the exercises or something, because they have different names, and sometimes they don't all save with, like, I'm going to call it a proper name.
Okay.
And a proper name would be... I'm going to make something completely up. Children's book to app conversion worksheet.
Okay.
So let's say that's the name of it. Sometimes it will come up with that, or sometimes it'll be like file XJ1475, or sometimes it will be like Rodney Washington 0001.mp.
Got you. Okay. Okay, I can fix that. I can totally fix that. Okay, thank you for letting me know that. I appreciate that. I will definitely fix that because that way, again, it does. It makes more sense for you to be able to get it. You know where it all fits and where it all goes. So
yeah, because there's so much content. I mean, and then I discovered that when I went to the bonus area for the other classes that you taught. The master class, because. There was, like, a limited time to do it, and I realized, like, just as it was coming, I had to do it, like, then. So I did some on my iPad, and then I realized that I didn't have the audio content. So then I went back and downloaded those, and they had code numbers.
Gotcha.
And because I don't do well, like, when I do things fast, I wrote down every code number and who it equaled.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry about that. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm actually ready to update to do some of this on that page, too, so I'll fix that as well.
Yeah, because there's so much stuff just to make sure that you have everything. Like, it's nice to go old school with a piece of paper and just check off, like, what's there and what's not there and things like that. Because everything was – this was amazing. Like, I'm so in love with your brain, you don't understand. Like,
thank you. Thank
really,
you. Thank
really,
you.
Really good. And I can't keep up. Like, that was because I was doing, like, the Selena class also, and just the daily exercises. Like, I really need to, as the way my brain operates with the discipline that it needs, is to have, like, a calendar event and then check it off.
Okay.
I'm like that way back in the spectrum. And with this kind of stuff, like, it was, I love, like, the meditation. The money meditation, but I would listen to it once or twice and then forget that it existed. And then, like, 3 weeks later, oh, wow, it would really be great to – there was something I did that he had I really liked, but then I couldn't figure it out.
So wow. Okay.
Yeah, if I had the list, it would be really, you know, beyond dynamite to be able to just physically look at, like, a table of contents almost. And then be able to go back and look at that. So if there was, maybe call it like a table of contents for the course or something.
You know, and what I could do is I could make a PDF table of contents for you, for all of you, and then I could just make it clickable. So then you could look at that. It would take you to where the file is, and you could download it or listen to it. I'll do that.
Your brain. Yeah, that's exact. That would be beyond awesome.
Because you got it.
Because some of the things, even just the what was great about the class, like you said, it was a build upon class. But some of the I had a big breakthrough the first week with the your money history or your money story. I had to, like, step away from everything after I did it because it was such a shock to the system that I needed a timeout.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so when it came, so then I had, it took so long to process it, and just, like, some things I did immediately, like, I was like, the next day I'm going to ask everybody that I have a money interaction with, what does it cost? Because when I was growing up, you just never spoke about it. And you just accepted whatever the price was given. Like, I could never make it in one of those, like, markets where you have to haggle. So what was great about, like, my epiphany was, like, I went to buy my bagel the next day, and I'm like, oh, you know, how much is that? Like, that became really important to me, and I worked on that for a couple of days, but then I forgot about the other exercises that I had to do.
I got you. I got you. Well, okay. You know, I'm thinking about, okay, this has been really good for me. I want to hop over and get Jonathan's question, but I would love to talk to you again.
I was chatting on the phone.
No. This is important. I need to know this. So what I want to do is I want to put you back on, and I want to jump over and get Jonathan real quick, and if you want to hang out, we can talk again, or we can set up a time to talk privately. So it's up to you.
Whatever you want. Whatever feedback you need on your princess.
Okay. You got it. Let me put you on the chop on. We can grab Jonathan real quick, and let's do that. Jonathan.
I'm here. I have a couple things, if I may.
Yes. Yes.
First of all, I agree with her that yes, sort of a check-off list of the downloads. It's all in the same kind of language and consistent spot would make life easy, because it does get overwhelming and to find out where to go back to the emails and find out where you couldn't find whatever it is that one is looking for, et cetera,
okay.
Et cetera. Moving along, I've been taking, as you know, I've not missed a session, even though there was a couple times when I almost did, but I've made the effort in hotel rooms and otherwise to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot, of course. And I have been in the past 3 weeks in several major conferences, you know, where I'm face to face with the movers and shakers and the people who hopefully will want my services. And I have tried in every way to put into place the mindsets that, you know, you have been kicking our butts about. And, you know, and as I don't know her name, but she's quite correct. You remember to practice on certain areas, and you say, oh, crapola, I forgot to do that other area. And today I was at a very, very heavy-duty conference called Marine Money, which all the top CEOs and everybody in the cargo industry from all over the world, and it cost $3,000 for the 3 days to attend the conference, and I paid nothing because I did a nice favor by allowing one of my photographs to be one of their marketing pitches. So, and at the same time, just as an apropos, Maritime Reporter, which is one of the largest industry magazines, had a whole half page about me because I did what you had suggested that was already in the works, where I was a judge of a major photo contest of amateur seamen and mariners and photographers all over the world, and then they, in exchange, they put a whole half page about who I am with a photograph of me, you know, in this major magazine, which everybody is seeing this week. In the conference, one of the things that I kind of tried to say to people as I would buttonhole, people would come up and say, oh, well, who are you? Oh, you're ship shooter. Oh, you're the guy with the orange shoes. And I have a press release of why I wear orange shoes, and that's another discussion, which I immediately whip out. But the other thing is that I start my sort of elevator speech saying, they see I'm a photographer, they know that who, whatever, and I said, hi, I'm Jonathan, blah, 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 and the last thing I want to talk to you about is my photography. What I really want to talk to you about is you. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, that disarms them.
Yes.
And I'm also thinking about following up with all the people I met and the business cards and all that, is to send my brochure, which you have a copy of, but with a cover letter which simply says that, dear Mr. CEO, and, you know, be individual, but the last, and saying simply that, taking that as a mantra. The last thing I want to talk about is my photography. The first thing I want to hear from you is your issues and problems and what you need for your company. End of story.
Yes. That's it.
And that's it, yeah. And it changes the game.
It does. And what it does is that
But I'm going to write it like 36 point letters on my stationery, and that's all it's going to say.
That's it. People love that because we already are expecting, especially in situations like that, in conferences and whatever, we're already expecting someone. We're waiting. We're secretly waiting for the pitch because we know it's coming.
Right. I mean, I saw one guy kind of, he was talking, he's the CEO of a major shipyard in Philadelphia, and he was busy, and I read the tea leaves. He was very busy with another very upper level guy, and you know, I tried to get his eye, but I said, okay, this is not the moment, and I didn't want to screw it up, so I let him go. But I will get to him, but perhaps in a better and different way. Even though I'll be back there tomorrow at 7 in the morning. My question to you was. So, normally I just sort of dot the I's and cross the T's before I do anything, and sometimes it just doesn't happen. And I am embarking on a very special project of my own of photographing dancers on historic ships. And I have had a background in dance and a background in, obviously, in maritime, and there's not probably anyone on the planet that can pull the two together. And one of the and because of these commercial people that I've met, the admiralty lawyer, the top admiralty lawyer in the United States, who is doing pro bono legal work for the intent of saving the SS United States, which has been sitting on its keel for 20-some years in Philly, he was able to give me an introduction to the director of the Conservancy, which is based in D.C., and where others were willing to introduce me to get the top admiralty lawyer to say, pay attention to Jonathan, in essentially a single sentence in an email, opened the doors, and I was able then to sell her on the idea of my bringing one of the top dancers on the planet to dance on that ship and create photographs that will never, ever be done again by anybody. So here's the question. While the dancer is a friend and we've known each other for years, we kind of were fairly loose and didn't really lock down an agreement. And I do believe, that if we sell any images, any prints, any books, if there's any commercial licensing, which is probably not likely, he should get a percentage. I don't have a problem with that. Matter of fact, I have done that since day one with dancers, usually saying, look, if there is any commercial sale, you'll get a minimum of 10%. And that's as well as lots of prints for the portfolios and this, that, and the other. However, this particular dancer is national. Global. He is world renowned. I mean, he took out a Saturday in between flights between Tel Aviv and Vienna in order to perform, to actually, work with me on the SS United States. So we haven't locked it down. His first opening shot, and this is all after we've actually done the shoot, and the shoot is phenomenal. He's more or less said, well, why don't we do a split? You 60, me 40. Well, that's, my email back to him was, well, we've got to make it so that at least my production costs are not out of that 60-40. In other words, if it costs me X dollars to make a print, framed or whatever media, whatever material, I can't, lose. It's got to be on the net, not on the total.
Okay.
So my question agents don't necessarily even get 30% or 40%. However, he is an international superstar. And, he didn't get a dime. And there may not be any sales. There may be $5,000 of sales. I don't know. It's not a big, I just kind of would like to get, I've said enough. Your feedback.
Yeah. No, absolutely. No, I hear what you're saying, and I got the gist of it.
Aside from slapping me for not locking it down ahead of time, but, the world doesn't work perfectly.
That's okay. So what I would definitely, there's a couple of variables with this, and what I'd like to do because I do want to wrap it up really pretty soon because we have been on a little while, but what I do want to say is a couple of different things, and this will be a conversation for another time to get to even
that
deeper because there's variables I need to know. But what I will say off the top of my head is a couple of things to consider. One is you don't have to answer me on this now, just give this some thought. Will you, doing this shoot, having this opportunity, you know, shooting this gentleman who is so world
renowned.
It's actually done. Will this open up other doors for you where the margins can be negotiated a little bit higher in your favor? Because I do agree you need to cover your costs. I agree with that completely. But you do want to find out about this. Sometimes, you know, we do these kinds of things, and they're almost like lost leaders. They're, you know, the opportunity is so great, the opportunity is so profound that you almost would be shooting yourself in the foot not to do it. So, and I'm not saying that you're not considering not doing it. I'm just saying
Rodney, the shoot's done.
It's done. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we shot 3,000 photographs. I've edited it down to 100.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand that part. Okay, you're done. Okay.
Done. But I've also shot other dancers on 3 other ships. I was in Norfolk last week, and I will be shooting another dancer on the battleship Wisconsin, and this will continue. And this is this particular dancer that worked with me at the SS United States is such repute that he's the only one that's getting that type of, you know, that can possibly demand or ask for that type of percentage. Everything else is fairly innocuous.
Okay, okay. So for you having done this shoot, the agreement was is that it would be a 60-40, 60
We didn't have an agreement when we did the shoot. We're working that out.
Okay, all right. Okay, okay. So you already then know your numbers in terms of what you need to make this profitable for you, or have you not figured that out yet?
I mean, the answer is I haven't figured it out. If this ship is scrapped, these pictures will become very valuable.
Okay.
And okay. Do I want to lock my – I mean, you know, what negotiation might I say to him if he's thrown a 60-40 at me as his opening? And it's all very amenable. There's no rancor here. And I've said – okay, but I've got to make sure that, you know, I have room to spend the money and do the promotions and everything in order to make the money. I can't just be your agent.
Got you.
So the question is, I would like to tell him I would love to do it for 60-40, but it's got to be 70-30 and be done with it.
Right. Well, but you, as I said before, though, you do want to base your decisions based on reality, so you need to know what your numbers are. So before we could really go any further with this conversation, I would say you need to get those numbers down.
Well, I mean, I have, in terms of print sales, I know what I would likely charge. I have those numbers. So let's just, for the sake of argument, if we sell a 17x22 print for $750, which includes shipping, packaging, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff, and the production of the actual print on my 3880 printer, you know, so we're talking with, you know, $50 of production costs. So if it's the net is $700, and so if he's asking for $40, then he's getting $280.
Okay. Well, again, as long as the numbers fall, we're at that 60%, and after you take out your production costs, you are comfortable with the profit.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you, because, again, this sounds like a thing that is going to be, you know, based on, again, what sales are actually happening, and then who's handling the marketing. Are you doing the marketing? Are they doing the marketing?
No, it would be, I mean, this is all self. Yeah, there's a huge soiree that the whole thing is being unveiled at a big effort to save the ship on Upper East Side Gallery next month. And we're
going
to have like 5-foot prints and blah, 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 blah. I'll probably do a couple blurb books just so that they're available. But this could become very big. The question is, should I take a very sweet and lovely tack and not? And see if I can get him to, you know, be less than 40%.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot.
Well, and I think, too, because you're the one that's doing the marketing, so you need to come up with a marketing plan so that you have a chance to even, you know, get the viability of how much of this is going to sell. Because, again, it could be just a volume thing. So this could be one of the things, for an example, that we could take into the mastermind if you decide to join that. We could break down what that marketing plan is going to be and then your numbers.
I've got to get him sort of locked and loaded, in the next few days.
Okay.
Question.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just sort of asking some. I think I have to look at the numbers and all of that, but which I have, and I've gotten some advice from my mentor in terms of what he is selling online, his finely done prints of Marilyn Monroe or Fidel Castro, and of course he's not splitting the money with anybody. Marilyn or Fidel, but so it's just a question of whether I'm shooting myself in the foot or whether I just simply go back to him and say, well, here are the promotional costs, here are the kinds of costs I'm going to be doing. My attitude would be, if you sell and